Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yateha deva pravartas trai vidyam upalabhyate bhuteshu guna vaichitrat tatan taryan numiyate.
Just as.
Iha.
In this life.
Deva
pravara.
O best of the demigods.
Trividyam,
three kinds of attributes,
upalabhyate,
are achieved,
bhuteshu,
among all living entities,
gunavaichitryat,
because of the diversity
of the contamination
by the three modes of nature.
Tata,
similarly,
anyatra,
in other places,
anomiyate,
it is inferred.
Translation.
O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, and foolish, as happy, unhappy, or in between, or as religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life, these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. Purport. The actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy, some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to disassociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. This is possible only when one fully engages in devotional service of the Lord, as Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the spiritual platform. Unless one is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord, one is subject to the contamination of the three modes of material nature, and must therefore suffer from distress or mixed happiness and distress. So this is all being spoken by the Yamadutas. So we can see that they are very knowledgeable in actually the workings of the material nature, how it's functioning. And then they see themselves as how they are, their duties within this, how they are to serve Yamaraj by carrying out his orders here. So now they've made a very interesting point here that there's going to be those who are peaceful, restless, and foolish, and happy, unhappy, and in between, religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. That the modes of nature will create this. Goodness will produce peace, happiness and religiousness. Ignorance will produce foolishness, irreligiousness, and unhappiness. And passion will create restlessness, happiness and unhappiness mixed, and semi-religiousness. So they see that this is going on, everybody here, and they see it happens in the future. So based on this, people will act. That's very interesting. Then Prabhupada points out here that one must become transcendental to these modes. So now transcendental does not mean the modes are not working. The modes are going to move the material energy. Because if we look at this very carefully, then in the material, I mean the spiritual world, the living entities and everything there is transcendental and is alive, is conscious. So we may think it's just ground or dust or trees or whatever, but everything is conscious. Everything is fully Krishna conscious. So there is nothing dead there. So everything is moving because of their relationship and their attachment to the Supreme Lord. Everything moves there. Things happen there. Activities go on there because of this. Now you have a living entity who wants to not move within this environment. And so then they are brought to this material world. So now the living entity wants to enjoy that spiritual atmosphere separately from Krishna. But that spiritual atmosphere is all devotees. So they're not going to allow that. And Krishna definitely is not going to allow that some unscrupulous living entity will exploit other devotees in the transcendental realm. Therefore, this material nature is given for the living entity to try to do whatever he likes. So here is dead matter. So that you're not exploiting any person. It's just the nature, the matter itself. But now we want to enjoy the spiritual realm, so that has life, activities, interactions, so many nice things going on. So we have to create that here. Now the dirt here is not a living entity, like as it is in the spiritual realm. The sky is not a living entity, like in the spiritual realm. And the bodies of the living entities here are not transcendental, fully conscious, because they are the living entity, as in the spiritual realm. They are all dead matter. So we find everything here except for the individual spirit souls, and Krishna himself is the super soul. Everything here is dead matter, inert matter that does not move, function, or anything. So now here comes the difficulty. The living entity wants to enjoy, like in the spiritual world, where there's all life and variety and activity and interaction. But here, there's nothing, you can't enjoy there, and there's nothing here really to enjoy. So Krishna has to make everything appear to be moving and happening and going on by the influence of the modes of nature. So through the modes of nature, the dead matter moves. And all the activities, whatever we see going on, I mean everything, even our breathing, blinking, whatever we decide to do, if there is movement, it is the modes of nature. Whether one is a pure unalloyed devotee, a pure devotee, an advanced devotee, a neophyte devotee, or a downright karmi rascal. Your eyes blink because of the modes of nature. You breathe because of the modes of nature. You walk, you dance, you think because of the modes of nature. That is what moves your mouth. We're not moving. Otherwise you have to explain how 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair got something that's, you know, millions of times bigger than it, which called your mouth, and make it work. It's the modes of nature that make it work. But this is all being sanctioned by the super soul, and it is due to our desire. So we want to sing for Krishna. Krishna sanctions that, and the modes of nature arrange that our mouth works. We want to walk from here, you know, from our house to the temple. Krishna sanctions that. The modes of nature make it happen. So whatever activity is going on here is all the modes of nature, nothing else. So here when Krishna says one must become transcendental, that does not mean that the modes are not doing their work. It means we are not involved in them. We are not attached to them. We are not proud of them or thinking that we are making things happen. But we understand that by Krishna's unlimited grace, we want to serve Him. We want to chant and dance. And by His wonderful arrangement, He sanctions that and it happens. I am not able to do that. Because if we were, at any time we could do. But we see when we're sick, we can't even move. We have the desire to move, we can't. Krishna didn't sanction, the modes of nature are unfulfilling. So, with this, the Yamadutas are pointing out everything that happens here in the material world is because of the modes of nature. So that means someone will be controlled by goodness, passion, ignorance, according to their desire. You have a desire that's proper, according to religious principles. The modes of nature and goodness will take care of that. If there's some attachment, the modes of passion will be active. If there's ignorance, the modes of ignorance will act. So they will carry everything out for us. So now the devotee, he simply has to desire to please Krishna, to do service for Krishna, to want to act in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna. The modes of nature will take care of that. But the devotee himself is fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And he doesn't think, I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Because he understands what's going on is the modes of nature and dead matter. So there's nothing here for me to enjoy. I can't control anything. I'm only 1/10,000 of the hair. And I'm not making anything happen. I'm not the doer. All that I'm doing is desiring. And because of this desire, Krishna, out of his affection for us, comes here and as the super soul and makes all this elaborate arrangement so it goes on. So one in knowledge sees this and is not bewildered. Then you get this point here. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, and one transcends the modes of nature and thus comes to the spiritual platform. So the spiritual platform is the consciousness. We see the consciousness is spiritual. Because the activity of the pure devotee and the activity of the materialist externally look the same, because the same modes of nature are making them happen. But the difference is that in that activity, the devotee is transcendental. He is not affected by the modes. He does not become affected by goodness, passion, ignorance, and thus becomes bewildered by happiness and distress, or hankering and lamentation, or here, becoming attached to religious principles or unattached to irreligious principles. He's not affected. He is acting because it pleases Krishna. So the activity that he does also thus becomes spiritual. So this is the wonderful thing. This is the mystic thing that is happening. Because now it is consciously connected. Or even if it's not consciously, but it is done for Krishna. Then it becomes transcendental and we become transcendental. But we must understand the body still moves because of the modes of nature. Though we are not affected by it. We get hungry, we're not affected. We still remember Krishna. We eat, we're full, we still remember Krishna. We may be tired, we remember Krishna. We're not tired, we remember Krishna. So the modes can act, do whatever they're doing, according to however Krishna's direction is. But we do not become affected. We see here, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of nature. So here he's talking about full devotional service and he says, and who does not fall down. So that means one can be absorbed nicely in devotional service and still not be fully transcendentally situated. The idea that devotional is pure, you know, full devotional service, it's all or nothing. No, here, one can be engaged nicely in devotional service. So we forget it moments, we become absorbed in the modes, we're doing something and someone makes a comment, we become angry, or we think, you know, our position or well, something happens, and that's just the modes. So then with more practice, those go away. And when those are gone, no matter what the situation, then we are transcendental. So Krishna is testing. The modes of nature are testing. To see, have we become transcendental yet? So the modes of nature are just going to act. Now it is up to us to endeavor to come to that platform in which we are not affected by them. Under all circumstances, we can always remember Krishna and always serve Krishna, no matter what the circumstance is. So this is the point that is coming up. This is the foundation. They're going to say all these things, and then the Vishnu Dutas are going to say, yes, but now what if it's connected to Krishna? Because we see up to now, the Yama Dutas, they're only discussing the modes of nature and material dharma. But what's interesting to note is they understand that God has created this dharma, God is controlling the dharma, and God is the goal of the dharma. But they still are looking at it simply from the point of dharma. So they haven't noticed the connection due to his attachment, Ajamil has called out his son's name. And by the modes of nature, he did call out the name. Means the mouth worked and this and that. But what they're not saying is that it is the Lord's name which is transcendental. It's not within the realm of dharma, material activities. So therefore, the activity is transcendental. And at that moment, he was transcendental. So this they are not seeing. They're just seeing the workings of the modes of nature, and they're seeing it very expertly. So the devotee is recommended, as we see here, to also recognize how these modes work and become transcendental to them by this practice of sadhana bhakti. And then when one becomes transcendental, then on that spiritual platform, this platform of liberation, then one can come to the pure devotional platform. Like that. Any questions on this? Yes.
Someone like Srila Prabhupada, who has a fully spiritualized body, I was always under the conception that he was, all of his functions were under the control of the internal energy, and that the modes of material nature didn't come in at all.
Janmasthi was making the point that when Srila Prabhupada, in his activities, his body being completely spiritual, then he was under the impression that the modes of nature aren't involved at all, it's the internal potency. There's one Maya, means Krishna's Maya, means which covers. So now, it has basically two functions, the Maya. That is, for the devotees, then it covers their, their understanding of Krishna as the Lord, so that they can perform activities in relation. Otherwise, if they are always absorbed in thoughts of unreverence, it limits how one can serve. The unreverence is too great, one can't even do any service. Because one is feeling so bad in that. So there must be some, even for the residents of Vaikuntha, that they think, yes, I can do this, I can do that, and so many things I'll do for the Lord. Otherwise, you just see it every moment, oh, you're doing this, you're moving my hand, you're doing all these different things, and so it becomes a little dry. So even there must be a touch there. And then as we add in the higher rasas, then that influence, the Maya, must be even greater. until you get to Braja, where it must be very strong, where they completely forget that he's God at all. So that's one function. The other is that the living entity, because he is not recognizing Krishna's supremacy, then Maya makes him forget Krishna. And in this way, then, he becomes entangled in the material nature. Because otherwise, if he remembers God all the time, he'll be totally frustrated. Because he wants to be the enjoyer. And if he's always remembering, then it's always there, oh yeah, that's right. I'm not the enjoyer, he is. And you just feel bad. Then nothing goes on there either. So to fulfill the living entity's desire, then Maya creates this illusion over the living entity so they can function within this material realm. But the purpose, as we see, is that the living entity wants to be happy. So they're trying to they're trying to create situations to be happy. But they're always running into problems. So with time, the pious living entity tends to surrender to the Lord. And then in that condition, he can actually elevate himself and get out. So for the pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, then Yoga Maya is creating all the different activities that are going on. So the Yoga Maya will be controlling and doing all these different activities for the pure devotees. But it's still the material energy that's being moved. But instead of Maya in her form as Triguna Mayi, then Maya as Yoga Maya is moving everything. So therefore there's no connection in this way. This way they become transcendental. But you understand that the body still goes through all these different things as just the material nature deals with it.
When we consider it's not really material nature.
One is, the question is, when is it not really the material nature? It is the principle of iron and fire. See, this is the exact point that the Yamadutas themselves are missing. As soon as it's in touch with Krishna, it's spiritual. And as soon as it's not, it's not. So that's the interesting thing in the material world. You can get both happening at once. You can have those who come in a spiritual body. You can have those whose body is totally spiritualized. And you can have those with a material body. All happening in one place, at one time. Like we see the Pandavas in their own body, just went back, they came in their spiritual forms. Krishna's here in the spiritual forms. But we see so many of the others, they leave their forms. Like that. So spiritual, this is the point, is that this is actually the bewildering essence in the whole philosophy, that so much discussion needs to be done about, is this basically this one point, is that the material nature is Krishna's energy. So if you technically want to look at it, there is no such thing as material energy, something separate from Krishna. There is only spiritual energy. But this is inferior spiritual energy because it's inert. It's a shadow of the superior spiritual energy, of the internal potency, the Swarup Shakti. So it's all Krishna's, and Krishna controls and runs it just like he runs the spiritual energy. But we make the distinction because this energy, if you do not recognize this connection to Krishna, and our connection to Krishna, acts in one way for us. And if we recognize that this is Krishna's energy, it acts in another way. Therefore, the example of the electricity can either heat or cold, make cold. So Maya can either make things warm or make things cold. It means either we can become spiritual or we can become material. So that is the actual. So the transcendentalists, they understand that. So they, their consciousness, their bodies, everything is spiritual. It's not that it's not made out of the material energy. what we would call material energy. But for them, there is no material energy. Because material energy means you don't see Krishna. As soon as you see Krishna, this is Krishna. It's non-different. Though it's its inferior energy. The Lord is there. He's present. He's expanded everywhere. So the pure devotee doesn't see material energy what we see. They see Krishna. Therefore it says that the sage, he sees the dog eater, the elephant, the Brahma, the same. Because he sees their bodies are made out of Krishna's energy. He sees that the living entity is the pure spirit soul. And simply due to their situation and consciousness, then they are moving under the Lord's control and sanction. Either under the internal potency or under the external potency. And under the external potency, then according to the three modes. So they don't see any difference. So it's basically, it's a very, how you say, it's a point we need to understand. We don't necessarily always absorb ourselves in this point. But in the Gita, basically it's bringing out that we need to understand this point. So that we don't get overly, we don't take the material nature overly seriously. We take our service very seriously, but we don't take the material nature over seriously. So all the things the material nature offers, we don't get overly worried about for situations and that. Because the main emphasis is always on doing our service, doing it to please Krishna. Like that. It's not that when we're typing for Krishna that we're, you know, each finger we're conscious that Krishna's sanctioned that now I'll push the A and now I'll push the... Like that. We understand that by Krishna's sanctioning we're able to do this. And now, so therefore we try to do it fully to please Krishna. Remembering Krishna, not being bewildered. So we don't have to take it to that final point. But if we need, we see in the Shastras, they'll take a point and make it that refined. And point out, just take it down to its bare bones, that this place is just dead matter, and except for us and the Supersoul, everything here, there's nothing happening. So it's made to look like it's happening. It means it moves around, and we think this living entity is making it move, that living entity is none of that. It's just that living entity has a desire, the modes of nature, under Krishna's supervision, carry it out. So in that, it kind of like takes the joy out of the material world. Then we see material rasa, material enjoyment, material position, wealth, power, influence, everything just disappears. It just evaporates in a moment when we look in that vision. So, yeah, so that's, that element is there. It needs to be understood. Though we may not always be looking with that vision. We're doing a service, we're absorbed in that service. But we're very careful to see that the ego doesn't come up and all these other things come up that may be there. You know, we're doing something and someone says, oh, it's so nice. So then at that moment we remember, yes, Krishna's by grace of Guru and Krishna, it's all going nicely. I'm simply trying to do whatever I can. We don't think, yes, I've done such a great job, isn't it? No. We're very careful at those moments. But when we're doing the service, we're absorbed in that, trying to think what will be best, how to do best, we'll do this, we'll do that. So we're involved more in the karma aspect and not in the jnana. Like that. But it's the whole thing, how you say? Yeah. So it's a fine point. And this is the point that will come up. This fine point is just if it's in connection to Krishna, then it becomes, to that degree it's connected, to that degree the influence of the yoga maya is present and not the mahamaya. And it is therefore transcendental because it's Krishna's energy. But when we forget Krishna, then it's called material energy and she gives us trouble that we are affected by. Well, yoga maya, trouble may be there, but we're not affected. Right? Like Prabhupada was in the hospital. You know, in New York, and then, you know, doctors are coming and pinching and poking and this and that. So, that's the modes of nature acting. And Prabhupada is saying, you know, Prabhupada, this must be a great problem. And he says, we're tolerating. means, you know, we just absorb ourselves thinking of Krishna, this, that, and, you know, let all this go on. You know, he'd rather be doing some other active, practical service, but in any case, they're doing their thing and Prabhupada remembers Krishna. So it's a very fine point, very fine point, like that. It's a good, does that make some sense?
Yes?
Question is that Krishna, his form is spiritual. Prabhupada said, don't think that this is material. So the spiritual master, his form, is that spiritual like that, or is it transformed material? What is the position? The basic position is that which is in connection with Krishna is spiritual. That which is not is not. So there is the difference between the transcendental spiritual form and the spiritualized form, which is also the same quality. See, as we're used to looking at the aspect of the material nature as something is generated, it maintains, and it disappears. But that's just the way material nature works. But that still doesn't mean it's not Krishna's energy. So when you see it in relationship to Krishna's energy, or you understand this, it has the same quality as the spiritual energy. There is no goodness, passion, or ignorance that affects one. So it is transcendental. So it looks like material energy. Like this here. So what is this? This is Bhagavatam. It is this, you know, it's made out of paper and some plastic and some colors and all that. But because it has been used to print Bhagavatam, it's not different from Krishna. But it's still going to act. If you put it out in the rain, it'll get damaged. So in other words, Krishna comes in a form we can see. Because we only identify the material nature. We can't see the spiritual nature that's already existing. The transcendentalist sees the soul. We're not necessarily seeing the soul. Many times you see people now don't even see the emotions of others, let alone the soul. They can't understand someone else's mind and intelligence and ego, let alone the soul. So gross. So by gross mad we can see. But this is fully spiritual. But it will still act like the material nature. But Krishna's transcendental form won't do like that. He's not born, he doesn't die. But there's a time when this became Bhagavatam, and a time when it sits around, it'll go. But that's our material conception. Bhagavatam is always present. Bhagavatam never disappears. There is not a time it's created, and there's not a time it goes. So for us now, we can see the Bhagavatam here in this form. So this is Bhagavatam. Just like that story of, I think somewhere, I'm not sure where, North Bengal or Manipur, someplace that some big British lord or something came and decided to visit one of the temples. So he came to the temple and came with his shoes on, actually, and marched through the temple, and all the Brahmins were on their hands and knees behind him with cloths wiping the floor. So he became very insulted with this, went out a mat, got his army together and with their cannons and that, and completely destroyed the temple. I mean, to the ground, the temple, the deities, everything. So then the devotees asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how could they do this, or this Krishna, this and that? He says, your material concept of the deity and the temple has been destroyed. The deity is still there. No one can destroy Krishna. Does that make some sense? Like that. So therefore, you'll see, therefore you have to take care of this and that. You know? Prabhupada said, I'll take care of you, your spiritual life. My duty is to take care of your spiritual life, your duty is to take care of my body. So you have to, it has to be taken care of. So all these things we have, these kartals, then we see them. These are the Lord's associates. To that degree we see like that, we make advancement. We just see them as kartals, some pieces of brass and throw them here and there. We don't advance so much. So to that degree that we understand, we make advancement. Though they themselves are spiritual. So this point of where material energy is fully in the fire, it is non-different. Becomes the Lord. Becomes the Lord's devotees. So it's non-different. At the same time, as we still have to be careful in our behaviors and all that. In the spiritual world, one is careful because of etiquettes. And those etiquettes are there because of rasa. Here we don't have the rasa, the etiquettes are there just so that we don't commit offense. So we will slowly, with time, develop that rasa, that understanding of transcendental exchange. Are we getting anywhere, or is this going way off into left field here? Yes.
Until the jiva gets the bhakti of the deep, is there any way at all that he is able to express his free will and independence?
Until the living entity gets the bhakti lata bij, is there any way he can express his free will and independence? Yes, at every moment. The thing what makes it difficult to understand about free will is we're thinking that at every moment I'm going to be free. But the point is you're free to choose, and then you get the result of that. So we made the choice to get a result. So when the result is happening, we can't complain, well, this is restricting my free will. So what happens is the living entity forgets this point. You know, just like the living entity decides to jump off Howard Bridge. Now while he's falling through the air, he can't make a choice, well, I think I'd rather go to, Gangaram's and buy some rasgullas. He has to first get the result of his choice. Then after that, then depending upon his situation, then he has further choices he can make, either in this life or maybe in the next. So what's happening is our corrupt karma has created what is happening to us right this second. Well, we freely chose that before. But while it's happening, then that is not going to happen to us, that choice we don't have, because we already made that choice. Now, what we're going to do with the situation and this and that, we have the choice. You know, we want to act this way or that way. Take it humbly or get upset or, you know, think of something dynamic, you know. Like that. So the choice is always there at every moment. But what we don't see is that the modes of nature under the sanction of the Super Soul carry it out. So actually we're not doing it. I decide I'm going to, you know, go from here to the front gate. I'm not actually making each muscle and move and each nerve and each, you know, corpuscle of blood and each cell. I'm not doing any of that. It's just happening. I desire to walk. And we'll think, no, but I'm desiring. But you only notice when something's going wrong. I want to turn, or I stubbed on something, I'm being very careful. So now I'm desiring to be very careful, not stub my toe. But if you check behind it, everything has a desire. I throw something at something, I want to hit something, I miss. So I try harder. So my desire is to be more careful. Before I just threw, my desire wasn't that serious. My result was not that serious. I'm more serious. It becomes closer. You know? And it's also according to our results of what we've chosen before. I will have good aim or I won't have good aim. So now even I really try, maybe I won't do it. Maybe I really try again. Maybe before I've done, had the desire to have good aim, so now without thinking it just happens. Right? So if we look at whatever we do or thinking, or it's just happening, it's just the modes. Fly comes to our head, I go like this. We didn't think. We have the desire not to have flies sit on our head. So the modes of nature just carry it out and move the flies. You know? So like that, if we see, it's just all we can do is desire. That's all that's going on. That's all. So recognizing that, then we're able to become an instrument for Krishna. Because then we want to fulfill Krishna's desire and not think we're then however it goes. That's why the pure devotees, even though they have all the eight mystic cities, they generally never use them. Because they just want to see what does Krishna want. You know? Like that. They just want to see what will happen. You know, Duryodhana is nothing for the Pandavas. But because they want to see what is Krishna's desire, how does he want it to unfold, therefore they just go along with it. There is no... But why they have to beg for five villages? Each one of them to create their own planet and sit on there and rule that. You know? They have all the mystic cities. But they don't. They just leave it up to Krishna. So like that, at every moment that freedom is there. But we shouldn't confuse that when we're getting the result of our choice, that is we're being forced. No, it's just you made the choice before, so now here's your answer. You know, just like we go to a restaurant and say, okay, give me, you know, a mango lassi. And then they bring that. Then we don't go, hey, where are the french fries? You know, I want french fries. Then the guy will say, well, if you order it, you'll get it. Be real. So it's just like that. You order, material nature provides. And then when it comes, don't complain. That's what we ordered. If you don't like it, change your order. Still, you got to pay for the lassi. So we'll end here. Grantarashima Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jainatai Gopa Premadanji.